This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Number one pick in the NHL draft, but the men that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make them need to run.
That's
I'm every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Oh, yes, it is. And a hearty good morning to you and yours, D and R, 98.7 ESPN. You've made it to Friday. The weekend is just about here. We've got hot, beautiful NFL schedules. And we've got New York baseball. So you got the good, you got the bad, you got the Knicks, you got the Devils. You have the morning roast at 7:45. You have plays of the week at 9:50. You have me. You have Rick. Good morning, Rick DiPietro. How are you?
I'm not doing great, David. I am not doing great.
So when you had the conversation the other day with upper management about if I have no voice, do I still do the show? I guess the answer, in fact, is yes.
Well, no, the answer was yes at the time. I gave him all different scenarios. If it sounds like this, if it sounds like this, if it sounds like this, we'd like you to battle through.
And I guess this also was battle right through it.
Battle right through it. We're warriors in this show.
Now, even if our baseball, for you.
Even if our baseball team is slowly, methodically killing us.
Do you think the Mets are at all responsible for your voice?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You blame them entirely.
Entirely on the Mets.
Because they are such a disaster right now.
Such a disaster. It's not my Little League team. Little League team, we're the comeback kids. Last inning rallies to win baseball games. This Mets team, this is what's doing it. I was listening to Kay yesterday talking about, calling up the young kids. Well, what else are we going to do? What's the other option? Tell me.
Rick, they've been shut out seven times already. They're being shut out about once every five and a half games right now of the season. Just to show you, because you say, is that a lot? Right? It sounds like a lot. Is that a lot? I'll ask you. I'll make you look good because I know you know. How many times did the Mets get shut out the entirety of last season's 162 games?
I believe the answer to that is eight.
Eight.
Yep.
And they've now been shut out seven.
But you got to tip your cap.
Stop it. If I would have told you that heading into that game, you would be shut out by that combination of Cincinnati Reds, you would have screamed at me. You got shut out by Law, Lively, Sims, and what's the guy that closed this thing out?
The long hand of the law.
And you have got to be kidding me.
It's a bullpen game against the Cincinnati Reds, yes.
On a getaway day.
On a getaway day.
And you give nothing? Nothing?
Nothing, no. Six hits. Thanks.
You got to be kidding me. Now, we sat here, they're so talented, and they're really good, and I don't think you have to worry. Okay, well, let me ask you this then. And I don't mean to yell at you, but I'm just frustrated. When can I worry? If not now, when?
No, I think now.
Okay. So now I can worry.
No, I think now is the time to worry. Because outside of making a move or calling up Mauricio or Vientos, this is what your lineup is.
And this is what your rotation is going to be like, too.
Yeah, well, I mean, we still got to get Scherzer figured out.
Right, but this, I mean, yes, of course you do. But this is what it's going to look like.
This is what it's going to look like, yeah. And Verlander fortunately looked good. He did what an ace was supposed to do. I mean, Senga was not great.
And by the way, yesterday was what, Thursday? It's not like Wednesday you were knocking down the door with 11 runs on 14 hits. You barely cobbled two runs together.
You've scored two runs in the last 19 innings.
Unacceptable.
You've lost 13 in your last 17. And I understand.
And to who?
Well, that's the problem. I mean, you lost five straight series. Washington, Colorado, Detroit, Cincinnati, of those five series. Those are the four teams that aren't good. They're a combined 18 games under 500 that you've lost to.
These are bad. It doesn't get easier than this. I'm sorry. And I know you say all the time that there's no easy game, there's no easy teams, but you know what? Even if that's accurate, even if you're right with that, it doesn't get easier than this. Like, what they've had is probably the easiest stretch on their schedule, and they're not losing some games. They're losing almost all the games they're playing now.
Right. You're right. I mean, to have lost 13 of your last 17, to be as anemic offensively as they've been, and on top of that, having some serious questions about everyone in your rotation outside of Justin Verlander. And I get the whole Senga thing too, right? Like, I mean, it's you fall behind early. You get the India, leadoff double, but then I know you got the bloop. You got kind of the excuse me single. He threw 37 pitches in the first inning, man. Reds four runs with two outs in the first inning. When you know your team can't score runs, that is the last thing you want to have happen.
No, and then it becomes kind of catches on from guy to guy to guy, thinking to yourself, well, we're down four runs. How are we going to get that? And then guys press, and then they stress out. It's bad news right now. It's bad news, and I got to be honest with you, I don't know how it gets better. Like, you think to yourself, okay, you got a weekend with Washington. Well, what does that mean?
At this rate, nothing.
Yeah, exactly. There's no layup for the Mets. There's no, well, we got Detroit, we got Washington, we got Cincinnati. I mean, those. You know what's happening right now? Those teams are looking in the Mets saying, you know what, that's a get-right series for us.
Well, and here's the problem, too, is now, and I like Tyler McGill, but now you got McGill and Lucchese followed up by TBD.
Great. He's going to be good, though. TBD, I hear, really good. He's got
really
a great
good
splitter.
Solid, yep.
Excellent splitter. Oh, thank you.
So, yeah, I mean, they're in trouble right now. There's no two ways around it. And I know I always preach to you, you can't take any team for granted. You can't discount any win against bad teams. But if you, But at some point, I mean, if you're a team that has the goal of winning a championship, I mean, and you're chasing a team as good as the Braves are, like, these are games that you have to find a way, especially yesterday by going against the Reds in a bullpen game.
Ugh, on a getaway day, you think the Reds showed up to the park thinking to themselves, you know, we're gonna blank the Mets?
No, but they probably like their chances.
Yeah, you know what? I'm sure everybody does now. Doesn't matter who you face.
Here's the other problem, though, Dave. Like, yeah, I mean, I just brought up the four runs in the first inning, and you get behind, and all of a sudden now everyone's kind of gripping the bat a little tighter because everyone wants to win. Everyone wants to contribute to winning. The problem, too, is just in general, they've been getting bludgeoned in first innings.
Yes.
Bludgeoned. Like, the stat was, it might have changed because they scored the four runs. I don't know how many runs up, but the graphic that came out, They've been outscored 31-9 in the first inning this season,
which is really embarrassing.
Which is not good
on both accounts. The fact that you only have 9 runs in the first inning, and the fact you've given up 31.
Yeah, right. Like, give me a second to settle in. Make the other team chase it a little bit.
Right, and think about this now. What are the last two wins they have, mind you? I don't mean to put you on the spot.
Yeah, the last two wins are a 2-1 win. Verlander 2-1 win and a 1-0 win against Colorado.
Okay, so you've won two games in the last week, and the two wins were scoring two and scoring one. Yes. This is not sustainable. You're going to fall out of things quickly if you don't turn it around this weekend, immediately.
Yeah. I mean, the offense has to wake up. I mean, there's too much talent in that lineup, and I don't know why. Like, there are moves that could be made. Like, I don't know why you would wait. Like, you need guys in that dugout that can help you win baseball games. If you got guys that you're keeping around just because they're veteran guys and you like them and you think they're good in the clubhouse, I'm all for that. You know how I feel about that. But if what you have on the field isn't translating into wins, you got to do something. You have to. And you got guys, and again, I understand, I've said it 1,000 times, and we talked about this. I don't expect the young guys to step in right away and all of a sudden be huge difference makers. But at some point, you have to if the guys you have up top aren't getting the job done, you got to reward the guys in AAA that you consider, you know, top tier prospects for their performance, because they are raking in AAA right now.
And look at some of these guys. Not only do you have Canna for now, and I mean, you have these guys for the foreseeable future, right? I mean, Marte, and you loved him last year, and you liked the way he plays the game, but I don't know that he's physically right.
Well, I mean, just go through. Yeah, I mean, Marte was. I mean, we saw how big a loss he was last season, right? When he got hurt.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
how much we missed him at the top of that lineup. But I mean, he's at 217 right now. He has not played to the back of his baseball card.
217?
I mean, 217.
You're on the verge of a quarter of the way through the season.
But wasn't that my concern before the season started when you roll back the same lineup?
Yeah, it was your concern, but it wasn't to this extent.
No.
Now I think you're on the verge of panic. Before there was like, how do we get over the hump and win the whole thing? Like, it's two different things.
Yeah, two different, I mean, completely different things. Yeah, I mean, absolutely, but I don't know. I mean, I understand this is what you have, but and we're early. I mean, May 12th is early, but it's starting to get late early. Like, I mean, five straight series, losing to bad teams, not scoring any runs. Senga walks too many people. There needs to be something they need a shot of life. Like, didn't you feel like Harrison Bader was like a shot of
yes,
energy of life to the Yankees?
Yes, I do.
The Mets need that.
Well, where are you going to get it from? Unless it's Vientos or Mauricio, where can you get it from?
Well, you told me you don't want to trade your best prospects, right? So it doesn't feel like it's going to be in a trade anywhere.
I mean, in a perfect world, I don't want to know.
Right. So you have two guys that are playing probably as good as you could play. And you got a bunch of guys in this lineup that aren't performing. Like, I don't know whatever kind of gymnastics you have to do with your roster, or if you're worried about hurting feelings, like, we got to get past that. If you think one of those guys can jump up here and ignite you a little bit, I'm not saying carry the team, but at least fill one of the holes in your lineup that you currently have. Like, maybe an influx of youth. Because, I mean, listen, Beatty's come here and established himself as the everyday third baseman.
And Alvarez has turned it around, too.
Right. And forget this whole notion that he can't defend. The guy's an excellent pitch framer. I haven't seen any problem with him defensively at all. So, I mean, at the very least, give him a chance. See, this is what I'll tell you. It's funny because in the NHL, how they would do it, if we went through a slide like this and you had some, you know, you had some guys that were underperforming, get the old, like, the healthy scratch. Why don't you go watch this one from up top and change your perspective? And then they call up a young kid who was just flying. And you hope that
job.
The young... Yeah, right. Like, it would put you on edge because now you might lose your job. And it would also kind of... Kid comes up, big smile on his face, happy to be there. Makes you remember why you love playing the game so much. Kind of like eases the pressure. Like, oh, yeah, I forgot. This is a game. I should be having fun. But it does not look... It looks bad right now. And it's slowly zapping me of life, if you can't hear it already.
They're stealing your voice.
They're stealing. My voice is gone.
The Mets are ruining Rick's voice. If for no other reason, root for the Mets to save Rick's voice.
To save my voice, and let's save our tailgate, man.
We could be watching a last-place team on June 1.
We might have Mets players at the tailgate.
It can't get worse. What could happen? They could get shut out.
We're going to have a band, and we'll have a DJ and free food. Why not? Come over.
Come on over. Brett Beatty, would you like a hot dog?
Yeah.
You'd Pete Alonso.
No, you wouldn't be given. I'd be the one, hey, Brett, drink hot dog. You'd be like, listen, Brett, this is what I'm going to need you to
do. Listen, you're flying open, okay? All right, listen, Pete, you're not leaning in.
Listen, fellas, watch this Frank Ntilikina video.
Yeah.
This is a day after I spoke to him at Lord & Taylor.
Do you remember when Frank Ntilikina was not great? Okay. Then I spoke to him in the sweater aisle at Lord & Taylor. It all turned around then.
I spoke to Frank and then picked myself up a beautiful pair of winter gloves.
Yeah, that's right. So a couple things. A, can I offer you a cashmere sweater? And B, you got to go to right.
Stay inside the baseball, Pete. Come on.
That's right. Inside to out. Come on. Inside to out. Say it with me.
See, that's the thing, man. I mean, when you roll back a lineup and they had, I mean, as much success winning series. I mean, they had a special season last year, and I know it was kind of a disappointment at the end, but 101 wins. And then you expect, you know, the guys that carried you to have those kind of like Pete had an awesome season last year. Lindor was really good. Jeff McNeil won the freaking batting title. I mean, are those things that you think are repeatable?
Repeatable, I don't know about that, but 90% of that, 80% of that?
Better than this.
I thought it was, you know, you could get into that realm again. Did I think McNeil would win the batting title? No. Did I think he'd be bad? No. Right? I mean, Nimmo's been good. Pete's hit for power, but what's Pete hitting on the season?
Pete is not 234.
Yeah, not no bueno.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
The schedules are out. Now, we're fired up for the NFL schedule release. Luckily for you, our friends at Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN, have great deals on great seats with a huge selection of tickets to this year's hottest matchups. Experience every tackle, every pass, every heart-pounding play of your favorite team live and in person for the best selection of 2023 tickets. Shop now. This doesn't make sense. Just Vivid Seats? I'm going to say just go to vividseats.com or download
better.
The app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live. That's what I do. I manipulate the read on the fly.
That's because you're just looking at it for the first time, yeah.
What do you want me to do? Study it? Commit
Maybe
it to memory?
Take a glance?
I was glancing. It says justvividseats.com. Just visit.
I think it sounds better the way you said it, yeah.
Just visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live. All right, enough of that. No, nobody cares. What people care about right now is the NFL schedule.
I'm a hero!
Have you looked and perused and committed to memory the Jets and Giants schedules?
I have.
To memory? I don't even have the Giants to memory yet. If you have them to memory, you're a hero.
I looked at it quite a bit yesterday. I mean, in my current state, probably not like as quickly as I'd like, but
you know what I'm going to do?
Tough schedule.
You know what I'm going to do for you? Because I feel for you today, and I know you're battling, and I have the highest level of respect for you. You know what we're going to do for you right now?
What?
Come closer.
I'm close.
We're going to start with the Jets schedule.
Look at you.
That's what we're going to do.
What a guy.
Because you got Aaron Rodgers, and you have the offensive and defensive rookies of the year, and you have the excitement that very few teams have heading into this 2023 season. Would you like to look at the Jets schedule?
I would love.
Yes?
Maybe erase that one. If I could erase any, maybe that one.
No,
of course.
No.
Let's focus here.
All right, Raymond, you have any music for me? And here we go. We start on a meaningful night across the nation, most specifically in New York, as the Jets on September the 11th play host to the Buffalo Bills for the entire country to see, a game that will be standalone on ESPN television.
Well, that is a tough first game.
Yep.
I told you yesterday. I mean, would I rather this game later on in the season? Yeah, I would, but I get it. It's a sexy matchup.
Very sexy.
I was talking to a buddy before I got on the show about Buffalo, and he's...
So go ahead.
I think
go
you
ahead,
said
let's
it.
Fight.
I think the way that you described it yesterday is the best way to describe it. I mean, this is going to be Tuesday, September 12th. I come in, we take phone calls. We're the kings of the world because we just beat Buffalo. Love our chances to win the division. If for some reason it doesn't look great, we feel awful. But I think, I mean, if I ask you right now, the team, assuming that defense is great, Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers. If I ask you the team that you think has the best chance to win the AFC East, would be who?
The Buffalo Bills.
Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
So you play them twice. This one's the game at home. Are you at your best in week one?
Well, regardless of whether you're your best, it's a game you really need to win.
Right.
So where are you going?
Oh, we're doing win-loss.
Oh,
now?
Yeah. You're going to do the Jets. I'm going to do the Giants.
Oh.
We're
doing
give
the, a win.
First, the first glance win-loss.
I'll give him a win.
Give him a win.
Buffalo?
1-0. What do you think the spread on this game is?
I think I would say we haven't seen what the Jets look like. I'll say Jets Jets minus a point and a half.
Buffalo minus one.
Ugh.
Buffalo minus one. All right, so you have your Jets at 1-0. Then they get sloppy. They take a visit down to the repulsive Dallas Cowboys.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah!
Short week, down to Dallas. I'll be rooting for the Jets. America will be rooting for the Jets. Who wins that game?
I'll say Dallas.
Oh, come on. I set you up for a win.
No, I know you set me up for a win, but...
These things you said you were going to do.
Yeah. I mean, you talk such a big game.
Who did? I did?
Yeah. What do you mean? You? Yes, you did. I'm gonna spike your turkey. I'm going to poison your boxed wine. You went right after the guy.
I don't think you said it was going to spike the turkey.
No, I was going to defile the turkey.
You're going to defile the turkey.
That may have been a caveat situation, though. Like, maybe it was dependent on it being on Thanksgiving. Now that it's not, you know, things have changed.
So, can you have sliced turkey?
A deli turkey, maybe.
Deli turkey?
Bring in a turkey sandwich, Raymond. If you bring in a turkey sandwich, I'll defile the turkey sandwich.
So that's a loss?
Well, here's the thing, okay?
Oh, here
here's
go.
The thing.
Here we
no,
go.
No. What up? I'm trying to take this game serious. I'm not trying to be just a straight homer. Is I have my concerns about week one. But if I resign myself to the fact that they're going to lose week one at home against Buffalo, and now I got to win going to Buffalo, I'm giving them a 1-1 start, however you want to look at that.
All right. RJ, you writing this down?
1-1.
1-1. But I want this filed away, and we'll revisit this at a later date.
Well, I think we need to take some time in between the schedule coming out, see what happens, and then make predictions, no?
Yes.
Well, these are not the official season predictions, but these will be first blush predictions. Patriots have beaten you, what, is it 14?
We love you, Patriots out!
I think it's 14 consecutive times. This will be, I believe, the Patriots' first road game of the season. At the Jets, September the 24th, 1 o'clock. You better win that game.
Yeah, I'm giving a win.
That's 2-1.
Yep.
And then the next Sunday night.
I'm going to go with the Chiefs and lay the
You host the Kansas City Chiefs.
This is an exciting game.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Very exciting game.
At 2-1.
2-1. I'm going to say... I'll say loss.
The 2-2.
Yeah.
And then you go to Denver and take on the Broncos.
Who should be better? I mean, if Russell Wilson can't figure it out now, he's not going to figure it out.
It's called the Dangerwich.
I'll say win.
Broncos country, that's right.
And then you host the NFC champions at 3-2.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah.
Why are we going win-loss now? I thought we were going to, like, break the schedule down first.
Well, we can do whatever okay. we want to do.
All right. Because I think you just really want to play win-loss. That's
I like,
what we're doing.
I like win-loss. And I think what we're doing is we're breaking down the schedule as we play win-loss.
Okay. So now we're in Philly?
You're home to Philly. You're 3-2. You're 4-25. And you're home to Philadelphia. Ugh. Boy, this is no easy start to the
season.
No,
I think that's the big takeaway here is the start of the season is not very easy.
And I don't think the Giants will be much different when we get to them in a couple minutes.
I will say at home.
Go with the Deagles.
So if I say win here, that puts us at what, 4-2 in the first six?
That's right.
I don't know how. I'm going to say loss.
Oy. All right, 3-3.
Eagles.
3-3.
No, here's the scary part, though. Here's what scares me, though, about saying what I just said.
By the way, this is a brutal first six games.
Yeah, it's brutal. But here's the problem, though, too. It's Buffalo at home, New England at home, Kansas City at home, Philly at home. I don't like it. I don't. I'd like to redo it. But I just gave you 1-3 in your first four home games.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's not good.
And I think you've lost three straight, right? At home?
No, I beat New England at home.
No, you didn't give me 1-3. You gave me beating the Bills. You gave me beating the Patriots.
Oh, I did give you beating the Bills, yeah. I have concerns about that game, though.
I would understand why you would. All right, so now you're 3-3, and now you and I don't speak for the week. We head into the weekend. Jets at Giants. You're 3-3.
We have the Giants.
Here's the beauty of this. I'm coming off the bye, which I think is at a nice time.
It is nice for you, yep.
You know what I mean? Like, you get the first six tough games out of the way. Now you take a step back. What needs to be adjusted? Is everyone on the same page? And boom, you come out of the gates flying, and you stomp the Giants.
Stomp.
Stomp.
Okay. I'm going to remember that word. Stomp the Giants. Now you're 4-3.
Yep.
Enjoy it, my friend. Your win, because now you... You host the L.A. Chargers. San Diego,
Superchargers. Yeah, but now we're rolling. Now we're feeling good about ourselves.
So now it's clicking on all cylinders, as they would say.
Now we've ironed out the kinks a little bit. I'm going win.
5-3.
Yep.
And then you go to Las Vegas. Short week.
You let him go to Vegas, we definitely not going to see him.
This is a Sunday night. You go from Monday night to Sunday night, and you visit... Jimmy Garoppolo and the handsome Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, I don't like the turnaround. I don't love it. I don't love it at all.
And you're 5-3 right now.
5-3? I think I'm going to give him a win.
6-3, because now it is clicking. Clicking.
Feeling
6-3. Up to Buffalo. 4-25. The Bills.
I am a Bills fan. Let's go, Bills.
I'll have them splitting, so I said win. I'll give them a loss here.
Yep. All right, so you got now 6-4. And then you're home to a division rival on a short week. The Miami Dolphins.
I'm going to give them a win.
7-4.
Yep.
Home to the Falcons.
Win.
8-4. Home to the Texans.
Win.
9-4.
The Red Stallions. Ha!
Yeah, not the Red Stallions. That'll be the Texans. Then you face the chicken of the sea, the Dolphins. The 72 Dolphins.
I'll give them a loss.
So what is that now? 9-5? And then you and Rosenberg battle.
I love my commies.
After not being invited to the wedding, you celebrate Christmas. Christmas Eve Day, hosting Washington.
Yeah, here's what I do. Because I'm so angry with Rosenberg, I make a phone call to my buddies at the Jets, and I say, hey, put some money on the board for a win from Uncle Rick.
Really?
They smash Washington.
So now you're at what, 10-5?
Yep.
Wow. And then, this is unbelievable. another primetime game Thursday night at Cleveland.
Cleveland! This is for you!
You're 10-5.
10-5. Whew. I'm going to need these games at the end of the season, though, I would imagine. So, I mean, this is, again, short turnaround, but still, I'll give them the win in Cleveland.
11-5, and then for the season sweep, week 17, at a time to be determined, you will take on Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots.
I'm a football coach. I'm not a doctor.
You know what?
What?
This is going to be the year. This is going to be the year.
Sweep? We're
going to go into New England, week 18, going to need the win. We're going to win the game. Give me a win.
And there you have it. 12-5. A first glance, hot off the presses, 12-5. That's some season.
That's some season. Yeah, well, I have no choice. I mean, this is the kind of season that we need to have.
That's some season. I worry a little bit about those first six games.
I worry a lot about those first six games. I worry a lot about week one. I don't expect Breece Hall to be Breece Hall in week one. I mean, I'm happy that he's on track to be back, but that doesn't mean he's going to be the, you know, game-changing, explosive running back we saw before he got hurt. And I also worry about just, I mean, everyone, the ability for this team on offense to kind of just mesh right away.
Well, I got to tell you, I think they're going to have to.
No, they're going to have to, but I mean, remember, Tampa didn't. I mean, there was some growing pains in Tampa, but I mean, this is different because Nathaniel Hackett and Aaron Rodgers already have that relationship.
And the NFC at that time was not what the AFC is now.
No, I get what you're saying. I'm pointing out that you can't expect it to be just seamless. Like, I'm happy that Aaron Rodgers is spending time. What do you mean? You can get off to a 3-3 start.
You can get Well, that's what you have. You have a 3-3 start.
Okay, yeah, but
you can't get off to a 1-5 start.
Well, come on, Dan. I mean, that's
ridiculous. Say, come on. It's Bills. It's Cowboys. It's Chiefs. It's at the Broncos, and it's the Eagles.
No, I understand, but you saying you can't get off to a 1-5 start? Of course you can. I mean, is it possible? Yeah, it's possible. But can you afford to do that? No, is what I'm saying. No, you can't afford to get off to a 1-5 start. You need to find a way to make sure that when the season starts is that, I mean, it doesn't have to be as good as it's going to get, but it's got to be pretty damn close.
Yeah, if you get it to 3-3 and then the second half of your schedule gets much easier, you can get away with that. But let's be honest now. Bills, Cowboys, Patriots, Chiefs, at Broncos, Eagles, and then at Giants, and then Chargers. I mean, there's the easiest landing spot in those games is what? The Patriots?
Is the Patriots? I mean, it's a home game essentially against the Giants. Depending on what, I mean, Denver's defense is good. Depending on what Sean Payton's been able to do with Russell Wilson in the offense.
I'm just saying that that's a hell of an early schedule.
Well, yeah, hell of an early schedule. But on top of that, I mean, you went through some of the, you know, the blessing and the curse of being a team that everyone wants to watch is the amount of primetime games that you're going to get. So we're going to have the 5 primetime games plus. I mean, you kind of consider the Black Friday game. I know it starts in the afternoon, but it's essentially a primetime game. But, I mean, you're talking about some quick turnarounds, man. Right? I mean, going Monday night at home to Sunday night in Vegas, that's a tough turnaround.
The Jets have 6 1 o'clock games on Sunday. 6.
Yeah.
That's it. It's a tough schedule. Listen, it's going to be great. They can be a very, very good team, but that is a hell of a schedule to start the season.
They have to be. They have to be a good team.
I think you could even say they have to be better than good.
Yeah, right. Hence the 12-5 record I just gave them.
Yeah, 12-5. You'd sign for that right now.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
All right, then. 1-800-919-3776, the New York Football Giants schedule. Thank you for allowing me to go here.
We are the Giants.
September the 10th, 8:20. Country will be watching. Giant Stadium. The yucky, dirty Cowboys pay a visit. Week one. You want me to lead the charge here and also give my predictions all in the same segment?
Well, I think I also love the Cowboys now.
No, no, I just thought naturally that I would lead the charge and you would give me the win-loss.
I like
win-loss.
It. All right, so why don't you go ahead and lead it?
All right. As you mentioned, country is watching. Sunday Night Football, Dallas Cowboys, 8:20 start. David, win or loss?
Well, you know, ordinarily I would say loss, but I think that the Cowboys may just be taking a step back this year. I think the Giants might take a step forward. I don't look at this lightly and say, oh, that's a win. Cowboys, we're just better. Home, haven't beaten them in such a long time. I wrestled with this like a man with a gator, and I finally got to the point where I look at it and I say, that's a win. Giants are 1-0.
Wow, 1-0. All right, week two. We're on the road, and that's going to be a popular theme here early on in the Giants' schedule. We're on the road, 4:05 start in Arizona.
Yeah.
Taking shots.
They'll be taking shots, but I guess the question is, who will be throwing those shots? Probably not Kyler Murray. Arizona, it looks like they're not opposed to being bad this season. Giants are better. That's a 4:05 bury it game. Giants improved to 2-0.
Good. Good.
Good. Explosives. I think Arizona would prefer to be bad. Week three, this is interesting. Because it's a Thursday night football game, and you're staying on the West Coast to face RJ Santillo's San Francisco 49ers.
Greg Kittle's unbelievable.
Greg Kittle, George.
Nothing about this game do I like. The Niners are better. It's a short week. It's a short week on the road. My only saving grace is the quarterback play hasn't been figured out by San Francisco at that point, but I can't hang my hat on that. I give the Giants a loss on that Thursday night.
So we're 2-1, headed back home. Monday night football. Giants getting all their primetime games out of the way early to face
a Seattle
Geno Smith.
I think this Geno Smith might be the real deal.
Pete Carroll and the Seattle Seahawks.
Well, Geno makes a return to the East Coast. That's a nationally televised game. Seattle's good. Got real weapons, well coached. Always seem to get a lot out of that team. But the Giants are home. If the game was in Seattle, it might be different. It won't be. Give me the Giants at home, prime time, over the Seahawks.
After spending 2 weeks on the road, they come home now 3-1. Next up, week five, Giants' first 1 o'clock game of the season on the road, going up against Gordon Damer's Miami Dolphins.
I'm disgusting. The 72 Dolphins. Dolphins seem to disappoint consistently. I mean, they're talented. I like their coach. Vic Fangio, I think, is a tremendous addition. But do I trust them? That's the question. Will Tua be healthy at that point? That's the question. My answer is no. I don't trust them full out. I'll take the Giants on the road to go into Miami and beat the Dolphins.
Wow, 4-1 start. Giants are 4-1. Headed into week six, another road game, another primetime game. It's a Sunday night football matchup in beautiful Buffalo against Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills.
From boys to men.
Yeah, so they go from the beautiful beaches of Miami to gorgeous Buffalo. I don't like anything about this matchup. I will simply take the Buffalo Bills.
I'm talking about the yo-yos who set themselves on fire and bathe in pork and beans.
Santiago is trying to set the world record for most drops ever in the history of a segment.
And I'm here for it.
So the Giants are now 4-2, headed into Week 7, their first home 1 o'clock game, going up against the fighting Peter Rosenbergs, the
Washington
Commanders.
I love my commies!
Commanders.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you could look at Washington and be terrified. Sam Howell looks like he's going to be the quarterback. That's a home game for the Giants. Maybe Washington takes a step back. I like this one a lot. I'll take the Giants.
5-2.
Mm-hmm.
And now it gets interesting. Another home game, but is it really a home game? It's a 1
o'clock
start.
It's a home game, pal.
Going up against my New York Jets.
Jets.
Yeah, this is a tough one for me because I do think the Jets will be good, and at this point they'll probably be a better version of themselves.
Coming off the bye, remember?
Yeah, coming off the bye. I don't feel like definitive about this one, but as we sit here, we do it right now. You know, the Giants are the second team in New York, so I'll say the Jets win that game.
Ooh, 5-3.
Yeah.
And now the Giants are back on the road. They're headed to Vegas.
You let him go to Vegas, we definitely not going to see him.
4:25 start on Fox. Jimmy Garoppolo, yeah. Vegas, daunting.
Something I don't trust the Raiders. I like Garoppolo. Obviously, they have weapons. Jacobs is good. Adams is good. Their defense, eh. I think the Giants go to the Raiders. They outcoach them. They outplay them, and they win that football game.
6-3. On the road yet again, week 10, they're in Dallas, the fighting Raymond Santiago's. It's a 4:25 start on Fox. David.
The Cowboys are the best team in the NFC.
I cannot have the Giants sweeping the Cowboys, and I won't, and I'll take Dallas to win that game. They split. Each home team wins.
So we're now 6-4, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And we're headed into week 11 on the road. Against the Washington Commanders. It's a 1 p.m. start on Fox.
Compared I think Washington to the Giants and the Washington Commanders?
Will be the worst team in the NFC East, and I don't even think it's a debate. I'll take the Giants to sweep them.
Giants,
they won last year in Washington. I think they win again.
Okay, Giants 7-4. We're back home. Going up against the New England Patriots. 1 p.m. start on Fox.
What's up, Patriot Nation? Yeah!
This might be the first time you can say this in a long time. The Giants are better than New England. I don't trust their quarterbacks. The Giants are home. Patriots could be on the verge of being done, if not completely done by that point. I'll take the Giants to win that game.
8-4 headed into the bye. Not a bad start at all. Coming out of the bye, another primetime game for the New York Giants. They are at home going up against Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers.
The Giants of New York took on the Packers of Green Bay.
An oblong football might be the deciding factor for this one. Giants are home. There's a different quarterback. What are the Packers going to be at that point? I'll take the Giants.
9-4, week 15, a 1 p.m. start in New Orleans.
That's always been a house of horrors. That's a really tough place to play. I think the Saints will be pretty good. I will take the Saints.
9-5, week 16, Christmas Day, 4:30 start against the disgusting Philadelphia Eagles.
Sloppy. Hey, Papa! Sloppy, some would say.
No, sloppy Dallas.
Disgusting, repulsive.
Disgusting Philadelphia.
Philly. Boy, I wish I had a different result for this one. Christmas Day, who wants to get coal in their stocking? But I think the Giants just might in Philadelphia. That's a tough one to imagine they win. I'll take the Eagles.
Taking the Eagles. All right. Last two games of the season at home. Week 17, 1 p.m. start against the Los Angeles Rams.
He rams the thunder.
Against the Rams, you got to figure weather could certainly be a factor. Is Stafford going to be healthy? What will the Rams be by that point? I have questions about all of those. Thusly, I will take the Giants.
So we're now 10-6. correct?
Correct.
10-6 headed into week 18. Time to be decided at home against the Philadelphia slopfest, gross, disgusting Eagles.
Yeah, you know what? Here's the thing. I think Philly's just better. And if Philly needs that game, it's hard to imagine the Giants find their way to a victory. Now, Philly could have things cinched up by then and not even play. But I can't go into this now assuming that's going to be the case. Talent alone, Philly is more talented. And it pains me to say it, but I'll take the Eagles again.
Fly, Eagles again. Eagles fly.
So 10-7.
Yep.
10-7, NFC playoff team.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so you take a step. I mean, you're 9-7-1 to 10-7.
Yeah, tougher schedule.
Yeah, I mean, the amount of time spent on the road early in the season is wild.
Oh, it's too much. Now, you heard what I did. Well, how do you feel about it?
I feel good about it, but I always feel good about, I mean, you're, because I think you actually, it's not just, you put thought into it, and it's not just, we're going to win 14 games and then win the division. It's, you actually, like, I mean, you give teams that deserve credit.
I'm not purple about Mike when I do this, right?
No, and then when, I mean, you're pleasantly surprised like you were last year. Like that, yeah, on paper, the Eagles are awesome. I mean, they're one of the most talented teams in the NFL, but, I mean, you also have a good team with one of the best coaches in the NFL. You could split that. I mean, you could split those two games.
Yeah. I mean, you could. I have a split against the Cowboys, a sweep of Washington, and a being swept by Philadelphia. I don't think that's outrageous by any stretch.
No, not at all.
All right, there you have it.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I received a response from my dear friend Jay Williams.
What did Jay Will have to say?
Let's revisit what we wrote collectively.
Yep.
Why the hell have you chosen today to wear a Mets jacket? And he said, ha, period. Just because I wanted to. I was at the game with Uncle Stevie yesterday. How is that possible?
So he's flaunting it is what he's doing.
He was in Cincinnati yesterday?
No, he's not in Cincinnati yesterday.
The game was in Cincinnati, though.
Maybe he flew with Uncle Steve to the game and then flew back.
Maybe he did. You know what? If I was on Steve's private jet, I would wear that, too.
No, I wouldn't. I think Uncle Steve would recognize, too, that today's not the day to wear it.
I don't think that checks out even if he was at the game. Then you saw firsthand of the random Reds, Reds bullpen guys shutting you down.
Guys no one's ever heard of. Shutting you down. Well, that's his excuse. Just because he wanted to was hanging with Uncle Steve yesterday.
No, he's not a real fan. He's a fraud.
Stop it. How dare you?
Would you wear a Mets jacket today on national television?
No.
No.
But that doesn't mean he's a fraud.
Listen to me, okay? Listen to me. I've worn Mets dress pants on ESPN multiple times.
Okay.
SportsCenter, all the different shows.
Be bragging about that.
Yeah, yeah. But here's what I'll say. If I had ESPN television today, it had the Mets pants laid out, I would say, no, there's no way. I can't wear that. No one's going to take me serious wearing Mets pants today. They stink right now.
Yeah, but there's something about supporting the team, even in their time of need.
The team already knows that I support them.
How do they
know?
They
have given me no reason to go on television and support them.
All right, this is Raymond, are you on their side of this debate? I don't really care. I don't have a major problem with it. But Rick and RJ seem to really have an issue with him wearing the Mets jacket today.
No, it's clear to me, like I told you before, that a decision was made, and whatever the Mets did, he was going to wear this thing.
He laid his clothes out maybe on Wednesday night, and he just stuck with it.
Listen, I can appreciate the stubbornness, but you know it's he's got to admit it's not the best look considering what's been going on over there.
So Cowboys have they play in it. Well, you know what? Let's bring this to everyone's attention. Week one, September 10th, Giants Cowboys. Cowboys are awful, just awful. Giants beat them up. Next morning, you show up for work, you're wearing your Cowboys thing.
I should be ridiculed for doing
really?
Such a thing. Yes.
There's no way if this show was on television that game happens, Cowboys stink, Dak throws three interceptions, they get killed, that Santiago is on TV next morning with anything Cowboys on. No
Zero
way.
Chance. Zero
well, maybe
chance.
Because he's not the same kind of fan that Jay Williams is.
Clearly not.
Now, the only excuse to have that jacket on is if that he flew home this morning and came right from the airport to the show and had the jacket on because he was with Uncle
Don't
Steve.
Don't get me wrong. It's a good-looking jacket.
It's a gorgeous jacket.
But it's a bit much, especially when you're doing TV.
You know, the negativity on the show, it's becoming stifling to the point where I need to branch free and get into the Knicks. That's the truth of it. Where are you? How you feeling? How are we doing? Where you at? Excited, nervous, anxious, negative, what?
No,
what?
Tell me. No, I'm not negative. I can't be negative because they did what we asked them to do. They came on, they fought in game five, and they brought it back, gave us one more day, another chance to get this thing back to the Garden for game seven. I can't be negative. I can be sick to my stomach, nervous, anxious, excited. I'm excited to watch it.
Are you? Okay, so here's the thing. My uncle texted me yesterday. He goes, Brunson's so great. You know, can't wait for game six. You think they're going to win? And I thought about it. And I don't want to be negative. No, I don't. I mean, I'm excited to watch. I'm hopeful. Do I think they're going to win this game? No, I don't think they're going to win this game. Does that make me a bad fan? Are you going to now beat me up like you beat up Jay Williams?
No, but it's two different things, though. I mean, I know who you are as a fan, and I'm the same way as you are. I mean, I'm not gonna give out any negative energy. Do I like their chances to go down to Miami and win? No, I don't love their chances to go down to Miami and win. There are things that they can do to make it possible. I mean, not turn the basketball over as much. I would start with that.
Shoot well from three.
Shoot well from three. I mean, Jimmy Butler did not have a good game five. I gave you the stats. You know, if you can hold him under 25 points somehow, I really like your chances. If he goes for more than 25, they haven't lost this postseason yet if he scores more than 25 points. But you're going to have guys, like, again, in situations like this, you'll get contributions from, you know, Grimes gave you all 48 minutes.
Right.
Had that awesome defensive play. But when push came to shove, your best player was your best player. Jalen Brunson was freaking awesome.
Jalen Brunson was awesome. You were home. They didn't play all that well, meaning Miami, and you still barely hang on to win that game. I'm just saying, like, if Brunson plays like that again, someone else is still going to need to step up. And I don't know, is it crazy for me to look at Julius Randle and say, there's been a lot of negativity surrounding you and certainly a lot of polarization. Go give me a game tonight? Like, go out there and give me 31-14? Can I ask for that?
No, I think you could ask for that, and I think it's an important game for him. Five was good, right? Five was good. He had a rough start, but then he hits that big three at the end of the half, which I think kind of took some of the pressure off, and he had a pretty good night. But yeah, I mean, I think it would go a long way if all of a sudden now, I mean, he has just one of those games like Jalen Brunson had in game five. Yeah, I think it would change how a lot of people looked at him.
Yeah, tremendously. Give me one of those games. You know what? How about my best players play like my best players? How about Brunson gives me another version of that, maybe even a little lesser, and Randall gives me a game, like a huge game. When was the last time you looked at Randall, and maybe it hasn't even happened this postseason, and he gave you a huge game, like semi-carried the team?
Wow. It's been, since the ankle, it's been a minute. I mean, since he hurt the ankle, it's been a minute.
So can I get it tonight? Am I asking for too much?
No. No, I don't think you're asking for too much. I mean, that's the reality of where this team is at. Because I'm right there with you. This feels a lot like what happened after game two, where we try to tell ourselves, doesn't matter, it's a win, that's all you worried about, right? I mean, you got the win, now go to Miami.
Right.
And then games three and four happened, and you're like, well, yeah, maybe there was something to the fact that they barely beat Miami without Jimmy Butler in game two.
Right, but can I get something special? Because I mean, Grimes will do what he does, but it's hard to envision he's going to have a special game. Who are the guys that can give you above and beyond what they've given you? And I think Randall in this series he's been fine. He hasn't been awful. He hasn't been great. Tonight would be a nice landing spot to have one of those games.
Tonight would be the landing spot, yes.
Here's Alan Hahn. He was on Greeny yesterday. I heard this. He and Canty were going at it. It was a tad uncomfortable. But he said that Julius Randle has a lot to prove.
He's already been All-NBA twice now. He's been an All-Star twice now. But those are regular season accolades. And it's obvious that he's a player that puts up big numbers and has big games in the regular season. But in New York, he's going to be judged on what he does in the postseason. And in his first postseason, he was not good. And so far in this postseason, He has been mediocre at best, and he needs to have a couple of great games here to convince a lot of people in this city that he should be here beyond the contract that he's in, which has one more year left in it.
I'm not comparing him to Jason Tatum. Tatum is head and shoulders a better player. But Jason Tatum was grotesque last night, was 1 of 14, and they trailed by 2 points late stages of the fourth quarter. And he got the ball, and like he had no, you know, issue at all, Rose fired, hit a three. They go up one. They come back. He does it again. He then does it again. And he finished the game with a rampage, and he was awful in the game. How about something like that? How about give me a game tonight if you're Julius Randle?
Yeah, I would sign up for that. I don't know what else you want me to tell you. I think
I'm just discussing it with you.
Well, no, I think you keep saying the same thing, and I agree with you. In a moment like this, where, I mean, you're on the road against a really good team, your best guy's got to show up. And they don't have, I mean, Quentin Grimes gave you, as long as he makes some threes and he plays great defense, that's what you expect from Quentin.
Correct.
That's what you expect from him.
No quickly again tonight, right?
Right, and that's the big one. I mean, Josh Hart's got to be better. I mean, he was in foul trouble. He was a non-factor
Correct.
In Game 5.
I agree.
But as far as points are concerned, because you're going to need points to win the game, the guy that's capable of doing it, I mean, you got three guys. And you pick which one has a special night. Jalen Brunson had a special night in Game 5. The other two chipped in and had good nights. I mean, they combined for 88 points in the game. But it feels like to get this thing back to, with the level of urgency Miami's going to be playing with, knowing that they don't want to go back to MSG for a Game 7, you got to match that. Then you're going to have to, Jimmy Butler is going to give you the best version of Jimmy Butler. So do you have one of those three that could step up and do it? And you'd say most capable of doing it, if it's not going to be Jalen Brunson, the guy who was third team All-NBA, could completely change for the time being how New York Knicks fans feel about
totally change it,
is Julius Randle.
Couldn't agree with you more. By the way, did you hear what Jimmy Butler had to say? Almost like
they're going to win.
No, not only that. He said, Jalen Brunson went 48. Let's take a listen. Here he says, I'll play 48 minutes as well if that's needed.
I'm never surprised with anything come playoff basketball time. Your best is needed all 48 minutes, if more, if you're going in overtime. If Spo tells me to play 48 minutes, I will be suited and booted and ready to do that, and we'll win.
See, here's the thing. And maybe I'm wrong. I hope to be wrong. I think you're going to get a really good game and tremendous effort from Miami. And if you're the Knicks on the flip side of that, you need to bring your game as well. And I think if you play the way you did the other night, I don't even know if it's enough. I think you need either Barrett or Randle to be kind of your second superstar in this game.
Yeah, you're going to get their best shot, and it's going to be early. They're going to try to come out early
and knock you out.
And knock you out. I mean, the one positive, I mean, there's a lot of positives, but the one thing I would say that gives me some hope is that we went through this before the series started, when we're going back and forth, who's going to win, you know, where are the advantages and everything else. And it was, you know, Miami somehow, some way, maybe it's the playoffs, they have the switch, they got veteran guys that know what they're doing, and they just take their games to a new level. I mean, they were the 27th ranked three-point shooting team. Like, their offense wasn't good during the season. They weren't a good three-point shooting team. And then all of a sudden against Milwaukee, they were the best three-point shooting team in the NBA in the playoffs. And then early in the series, three-point shooting was good. Last game, recently, three-point shooting hasn't been great. So, I mean, is the hope that maybe they're coming back down to...
Be great.
They're regressing to the mean?
It'd be great. And remember, the first three quarters the other night were like horrendous. They got better as the game went on.
Well, yeah, Duncan Robinson all of a sudden started hitting shots, but... I mean, that would be something you could look at.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.